In Tunisia, a new parliament will be elected this weekend. The Arab Spring started in the country in January 2011 when mass protests ousted the former Tunisian dictator Zine El Abidine Ben Ali. People in Tunisia today are wary of the ongoing bloodshed in Libya and Syria and the threat of Islamist groups like the Islamic State. But they know they've come far compared to the other post-revolution states, despite many challenges. The new post-revolution constitution that was passed this year is seen as the most progressive in the Arab world. It guarantees freedom of religion as well as gender equality. That's also due to the many women who were involved in the Tunisian revolution, bloggers, housewives, activists, but also Islamist women who fought against Ben Ali. Though divided in their political and cultural views, women in Tunisia have gained more freedom and equality in the past few years, and they are not willing to give up the rights they gained in the revolution. On the contrary, many see themselves as guardians of the revolution. DW correspondent Alex Goebel reports from Tunisia. His documentary is presented by Emma Wallace.
Tunis at the end of January 2014. The members of the Constituante, the Constituent Assembly that drafted Tunisia's new constitution, were celebrating. For months, they had fought over the exact wording of the constitution's almost 150 articles. For a while, it even looked like the delegates would never agree on a constitution at all. But it was finally adopted by an overwhelming majority. The long process was worth it, says Merazia Laabadi, vice president of the transitional parliament.
If it has taken us until now, that's because we wanted to do justice to the Tunisian people. The result can never be perfect. It cannot satisfy every Tunisian. But we wanted to make this constitution as best as possible. And if the majority of the population supports it, that's a good start. You know, the birth act is always painful and connected with many expectations. But in the end, one is always very happy and relieved once the baby has arrived.
Merazia Laabadi is a member of the Islamic Ennahda Party. Islamists have played the main role during the drafting of the constitution. A new parliament is being elected this month. No matter what the outcome of the election, the new Tunisian constitution has shown that a compromise is possible between very different political groups. The constitution was supported both by the Islamists of the Ennahda party as well as by the secular members of the opposition. Ennahda MP Suad Abderrahim says it is also a victory gained by women for women.
I fought for the state to be a civil state, and that's part of the text now. I also fought for equality and parity of men and women. As a woman, I'm very proud and satisfied that female MPs have fought for the article which guarantees gender equality.
Equality before the law, that's actually nothing new for women in Tunisia. Even under the old regime, they had more rights than women in other Arab countries. But many women were afraid their freedoms would be lost when the Islamist Ennahda party won the elections for the transitional parliament 3 years ago in October 2011. More and more women started to wear headscarves, while the women of the Ennahda party celebrated that as proof of freedom of religion in the country and being able to finally express their faith in public after years of repression. The secular opposition warned of a loss of liberal and lay values and talked of an Islamist backlash. These fears were fostered by Salafist attacks and politically motivated murders of leftist critics of the regime, like Chokri Belaid or Mohamed Brahmi in 2013. The rights women are granted under the new constitution go further than the rights granted by the first equality bill in 1956, but it remains a challenge to guarantee these rights both in urban areas as well as in the mainly conservative rural parts of the country. Apart from issues of religion, the role of women in future Tunisian society has raised a lot of questions. And even if the constitution now grants gender equality, there is room for interpretation in the law. Controversy has been sparked over the question of whether gender equality also applies to the right of inheritance, which so far has favoured men. And it also remains unclear how the female quota is to be reached, which has already been applied to the members of the Constituante who drafted the constitution. In the new Tunisian parliament, women and men are supposed to have an equal share of seats. What is clear is that the parliament is gaining more power in Tunisia, and the judicial system is supposed to be independent. On paper, at least, political power has been spread among more institutions than ever before. The constitution says, Tunisia is a state of civil character based on citizenship, the will of the people, and the rule of law. While the new constitution proclaims Islam to be the religion of the state in Article 1, it doesn't include a reference to Sharia as a source of legislation or politics. The idea is to give no space to irrational, reactionary movements and to keep Tunisia on its path to democracy. But it's a difficult path, says opposition politician Rim Mashoub.
Our fear is that what we've reached now will be changed back. That's why some of the articles of the new constitution are not reversible. Should they be improved further, that's the will of the government and of civil society. And luckily, we have a civil society that's very alert.
Ibtihel Abdelatif has been very aware of what went on during the difficult years of the dictatorship. Today, even at weekends, she sits in her small windowless office in Tunis. Abdelatif, who is in her mid-40s and wears a blue silk headscarf, is the head of the Association Femmes Tunisiennes, an association for women's rights which has the approval of the Ennahda party.
We were very happy about the revolution because since then we are finally being respected as Islamists. Under Ben Ali, I was allowed to work because I wear a headscarf. I finished my first university degree in 1991 to become a teacher, but I was only able to continue with my studies after the revolution. I'm now working on my master on the political work of women. That would have been impossible before.
To be able to look ahead, you have to look back, Ibtihel Abdelatif says. It's only when looking at the past, the route Tunisia has walked, that the way ahead becomes visible, she says. She adds that in her opinion, the Tunisian revolution was a huge present for the country, which is supported by men and women.
Ben Ali destroyed us. He ripped society apart. And now we have to bring it back together. That's not easy. We have to reconcile with each other and also with our past. Women play a big role in this. They were the co-authors of Tunisian history from the time when Tunisia was a colony. But why does nobody know these women, and they don't know those who were tortured in Ben Ali's prisons?
To give a voice to these women is one of the aims of Ibtihel Abdelatif. The martyrs of the 2011 revolution are known, she says, and so are the fates of tens of thousands of men who were detained for political and religious reasons in the time of Ben Ali's regime. But there are no figures, no statistics, no memorial to the women who suffered during that time. Activist Abdelatif says that it was difficult and painful to find at least a few of these women and get them to talk. So far, some 450 women have told their stories on camera for a documentary compiled by the association. The stories bear witness to the horrors of the dictatorship and to unimaginable torture, rape and humiliation.
Politics was always dangerous for women in Tunisia, unless you belonged to Ben Ali's RCD party. In that case, you could do what you pleased, serving those in power. But as an activist of the opposition, or even worse, with political Islam as background, or even just as the wife of an activist, you risked your life during this time. It is a bitter irony. Even Ben Ali treated men and women equally, but this equality was mainly true in prison. Women were mistreated and tortured just as severely as men.
The experiences of the women are a reminder not to forget, Ibtihel Abdellatif believes. A reminder for the judicial system of the new Tunisia to not let the deeds that were committed go unpunished. However, she says it's important to understand that Tunisian society remains divided beyond the political parties into two ideological ones, an Islamic conservative one versus a liberal and secular ideology. Activists wearing headscarves, she says, fought for the same causes like everyone else, for Tunisia's freedom.
Alors, s'il vous plaît, entendez.
You in the West, you must try to understand us. All those years they were talking about us, but not with us. We were demonized. Our own Tunisian sisters did not respect us as activists, and even less so abroad. Yes, I do wear a headscarf, but I'm also a woman like all others. I'm a human being. And were the women Ben Ali had tortured to death not human beings too? Why were they tortured? Just because they wore headscarves?
Tunisia's women have contributed a lot to the toppling of the Ben Ali regime. They marched in the front row of protests, blogged critical texts, despite state censorship, and uploaded video clips about illegal demonstrations to YouTube, just like men did. Many Tunisian women are better educated than men today, and women hold a higher number of university degrees. Many of them are in technical fields, and they have good chances on the job market. There are also quite a few female politicians. Yet women, particularly in the countryside, remain badly disadvantaged.
The biggest problem for women is that they always get pushed aside, economically speaking. Those of us who live here in a mining area are hit worse by unemployment than men. The economic situation is the biggest problem.
Meryem Tebabi is 36. She wears jeans and a black and blue headscarf. She's been living in Redieff all her life, a town in the deep south of Tunisia, just a few kilometres from the Algerian border, and amid an area with large phosphate deposits. Of all places, it is this dire part of the country which is seen by many Tunisians as the cradle of the revolution. Since 2008, Redieff saw unrest and protests long before the official start of the Arab Spring. Meryem Tebabi sees herself as an heiress of the upheaval and a guardian of the revolution. She's active in the regional forum in Redieff, a local branch of the World Social Forum. She also works for an organisation called Om El Shahid, or Mother of the Martyr, an NGO that sensitises women to political processes and elections. There, Meryem helps kids of underprivileged women with their homework.
Particularly those women who already started protesting in 2008 have played major roles and set important examples, also to the outside world. The demands which brought their children into prison were no political demands, but economic ones. It was about improving the economic situation in the region. Ben Ali thought, if he detains the men, it's over. But he discovered that the women took over the revolution. That's why they were so important.
Lawyer and activist Radia Nasraoui is proud of women like these. She cannot imagine a revolution without strong and courageous women.
I see many women in Tunisia who defend what we have reached. It's become part of our culture and identity that women are visible in society, that they have their say and get politically active. That has become normal, and that's wonderful. And there are also women who are successful in business. All that can't be put into question anymore.
A good example is Wided Bouchamaoui. She's the president of the Association of Industry and Employers, or UTICA. She is maybe the most influential or even the most powerful woman in Tunisia. That men call her almost timidly femme de fer or the Iron Lady is no problem for Wided Bouchamaoui. Dressed in a red business suit, the slender woman in her early 50s is sitting at her mahogany desk. Since May 2011, Bouchamaoui has headed the business association. Since then, things have been steadily improving. Her spacious office, located high above the roofs of Tunis, is almost as big as a conference hall.
It takes
a lot of courage. Women in Tunisia have to develop more self-esteem. They have to step ahead, dare something. And the men have to finally understand that we women are equal to them. I say women in Tunisia can go far if they want it, and if they are competent, despite the difficulties.
Ehmel Karboul is that kind of woman. She's come far. She's the Minister of Tourism in Tunisia's transitional parliament. Karboul comes from Djerba. She studied engineering in Karlsruhe, Germany, and she also heads a consulting company. She is one of the many politicians in Tunisia who come from very different backgrounds, but all have the same goal, to modernize the country.
When our Prime Minister, Mehdi Joma, called, I couldn't say no. He said, Tunisia needs you.
When she lived in Germany, Ehmel Karboul supported the introduction of female quotas. However, the outgoing transitional government only has 2 female ministers against 10 men. Still, Ehmel Karboul says that her male colleagues take her seriously.
We are only 2 female ministers and 1 female secretary of state. I wish there would be more. Tunisia has many competent women who are really top in their fields, even looking at my own team. I also set a different tone. Maybe it's an advantage not to be a trained politician. I am simply open and direct.
Looking at the Salafist protests, political murders and tear gas in Tunisia's streets in recent months and years, pessimists and cynics could conclude that Tunisia's Arab Spring has long turned into a dark winter, and that the experiment of the first democracy in the Arab region has failed. But there are many men and women, particularly the younger generation, who still believe in this country.
The emancipation and the liberation of Tunisia is something very important to me. And this emancipation will succeed if Tunisians feel like citizens and not as subjects of a regime. In 2011, we woke up and within a very short time span, we were supposed to become citizens. But we had no clue what that meant or how to do that. We are learning it now and what it means to have rights and responsibilities. And the day we will have managed to do that, we will be one step further. And then there are the individuals, mature citizens, who support society. And that's the complete opposite of the kinds of circumstances we had before.
30-year-old Yamina is a blogger, editor, cultural manager, and she's also gay. She says she feels emancipated since she's got a job and earns money. She's financially independent now and more courageous. Yamina fought for her economic independence and also won her personal liberty to live the way she wants in a patriarchal society like Tunisia.
That is my way of life. I won't change it. No, I will continue to live this way. That is my way to resist any attempts to limit my freedom. You can only understand what rights are when you live them and you defend them. We are working on it, each in their own way. Some make big steps, others small ones. Sometimes I despair. It's like fighting with myself, but then I wake up in the morning and think, oh, go to work. We all have to continue believing in the future. We have to go on.
An alternative music festival is taking place on one of the hills of the ancient city of Carthage. The sun is setting on the horizon. Singer Badia Bourizi is standing between ancient columns on a small stage and moves with the beats from the DJ. The mood is thoughtful. Badia Bourizi is searching for answers to questions which a whole generation of young Tunisians are asking themselves. How do we go on from here? And how do we want to live?
We want to give people hope, hope for the children of the Arab Revolution everywhere. People here believe that it's a revolution of culture. Either a revolution happens through culture or not at all. It's about mentalities. We believe in the masses and that we can change something together. We are in a phase where no one can stop us anymore, not even the Islamists. I strongly believe that things here will change. Because we want them to change. We are free people, individuals, and we are the majority.
Il y en a plein comme nous, en fait. On est plutôt une majorité, voilà.